It's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's yesteryear. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Good to be with you for this hour of comedy. Later on, we'll hear Joan Davis time, but right now it's The Jack Benny Show, a CBS broadcast featuring all the regulars, Dennis Day, Don Wilson, Mel Blanc, and Eddie Anderson, from March 27, 1955 on CBS.
The Jack Benny Program. Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, the Sportsman Quartet, and yours truly, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, many times in the past I've opened this program by taking you out to Jack Benny's house in Beverly Hills. But tonight, just for a change, let's all go out to Mr. and Mrs. Bob Crosby's house on the edge of Beverly Hills.
Many times I have wanted your kiss. Many times.
Oh, Bob.
Yes, you?
You've been in the den here for an hour. What are you doing?
Oh, just rehearsing some songs, dear. I'm thinking of making another personal appearance.
Personal appearance? Where?
Las Vegas.
Oh, Bob, I wish you wouldn't. You remember what happened last time we were up there. You gambled every night and lost quite heavily.
Oh, I know.
Well, don't do it again. I miss the baby. But really, Bob, I'm serious. I wish you wouldn't play another personal appearance.
Well, why not, dear?
Well, you're so busy. You're on Mr. Benny's show every week. You play benefits. You make records. And you have your own TV show 5 days a week. You're never home anymore.
Oh, June, you're exaggerating.
Oh, Mother. Mother!
Yes, dear?
Can I go to the park and play ball?
Certainly.
Okay, I'll be back in time for dinner. Say, Mom.
Yes, dear?
Who's this guy, the plumber?
He's your father.
Well, certainly I'm your father. Don't you recognize me, Chris?
I'm Steve.
Oh?
You run along, Steve, and be home in time for dinner.
I will. Goodbye, Mother. Goodbye, Dad.
Goodbye, goodbye. Gosh, he's grown. Yeah. Honey, I could have sworn he was Chris. Gosh, you know, June, I've been thinking about what you said, though, and I think I'm going to forget about personal appearances and spend more time at home.
Oh, Bob, I wish you would.
I will, and not only that, I think... Why don't we have a dinner party here at home like we used to?
Oh, that would be wonderful. How about next Saturday night?
That's fine. I'll invite all the boys in my band and their wives, and you know what, June? I think we ought to invite Jack Benny, too.
You do?
Why, certainly.
Oh, but Bob, he's such an important man, and he's so busy. You can't call and invite him to dinner on such short notice.
Well, I'm going to try anyway.
Bob, I think you're making a big mistake.
Now, don't you worry, June. I've got an idea. Look, we'll change the date of our dinner to fit Jack's convenience.
Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is Bob Crosby.
Oh, hello, Bob.
Say, Jack, June and I would like to invite you to our house for dinner, and, well, when would it be possible for you to come?
Oh, 7 o'clock, 7:15. In fact, I can be over right now.
Well, we weren't thinking of tonight. We were thinking of some night this week. Which would be the most convenient?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Well, you skipped Thursday.
Oh, I babysit that night.
Oh.
I used to do it for you, but you lost your kid in Las Vegas.
I know. But, Jack, how about coming over for dinner Saturday night?
Oh, fine, Bob. Fine. Say, and after dinner, we can have some fun. You know, play gin or Scrabble.
Oh, no, thank you, Jack. I'll never play Scrabble with you again after last Sunday's game. You're too tricky for me. I don't know how in the world you do it.
Do what?
Well, there are only two Y's in the game, and yet you made the word money 11 times.
Well, all right. We'll play something else. So long. See you Saturday.
So long, Jack.
Goodbye, Bob. Gee, it was nice of Bob to invite me over to his house for dinner. He's always doing things like that. Having people over for dinner, taking them out to nightclubs, having parties. He's so generous. He ought to see a psychiatrist. Well, when Rochester comes home for shopping, I better tell him I won't be home for dinner Saturday night. Gee, he's been at that market a long time. Coming, coming. Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Come on in.
Thanks.
I wasn't expecting you today, Dennis. Anything wrong?
No, I just wanted to ask you a favor. Could you lend me $10?
$10? Yes, I guess so. What do you want it for?
I want to get myself tattooed.
Tattooed? Why?
Well, I was in the Navy during the war, and yet nobody will believe I was a sailor.
Well, what are you going to have tattooed on you?
My uniform.
Well, that's about the... Look, kid, if you want something tattooed on you to show that you were in the Navy, why don't you have a life preserver or an anchor? Oh, wait a minute. How about the battleship Missouri?
No, my mother has that.
Your mother has a battleship tattooed on her?
When she wears a corset, it looks like it's sinking.
Say, wait a minute, kid. I've got a good idea. Why don't you do what I did when I was in the Navy? Have the American flag put on your arm.
Gee, I didn't know you had the American flag on you.
Yeah, I had it done the first day I joined the Navy. Wait, I'll roll up my sleeve and show it to you. See?
Gee, only 13 stars.
Yes, Dennis, only 13 stars, but not for the reason you think. I made the man stop because he was hurting me.
Then why did he put them in a circle?
Dennis, I don't want to get into any more discussions with you. Now, I'll make you a proposition.
Yeah, what?
If I lend you the $10, will you let me hear the song you're going to do on next Sunday's program and leave immediately?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here's the $10. Let's hear it.
I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love.
That was Dennis Day singing Almost Like Being in Love, and should sound swell on the program.
Oh, thanks.
Now go get yourself tattooed.
Okay, Mr. Benny. You know what I think I'll do? I'll have them
Dennis,
tattoo...
Dennis, you promised me if I lent you the $10, you wouldn't say anything. You just go.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then go.
All right, goodbye.
Bye. You know, Dennis gets sillier and sillier every day. I don't know how I stood him all these years. But it's my own fault. I should have known when I first saw him there was something wrong with him. What other man wears a size 3 hat? I don't know, sometimes I think...
Mr. Benny, I'm back from the market.
Good.
I'm in the kitchen putting the things away.
I'll come in and help you. Hey, what took you so long, Rochester?
Well, I had a lot of things to do. You know, I took all the hamburger out of the freezer, sold it, and bought 36 quarts of milk.
Why'd you do that?
Beef went up, milk went down. I'm playing the market.
Say, Rochester, what's this?
A head of lettuce.
How can this be lettuce? It's pure white.
The fat is over. They're taking chlorophyll out of everything.
Oh.
By the way, Mr. Benny, are you going out tonight?
No, I think I'll stay home and practice my violin.
Your violin? Oh, boss, calm now.
All right. I'll wait till you get out of the house. Meanwhile, I'm going in the den and read for a while.
Okay.
Gee, I haven't read a book in a long time. Let's see what's here. Here's a book I haven't read. 100 Famous Poems. Gee, I haven't read poetry in a long time. I think I'll read this. Let's see. Gee, they have some wonderful poems in this book. Charge of the Light Brigade, Hiawatha, The Wreck of the Hesperus, Gunga Din. There was an old lady from... Whoops, somebody penciled that in. Oh, here's one of my favorite poems. I haven't read it in years. The Shooting of Dan McGrew. I think I'll read that. The Shooting of Dan McGrew by Robert W. Service.
Bunch of the boys were whooping it up in the Malamute Saloon. The kid that handles the music box was hitting a jag-time tune.
Hey, bartender! Bartender! Bartender!
Yeah?
I want a drink of whiskey.
Okay, how much whiskey do you want?
About 3 fingers.
Yeah?
Give me another drink.
How much this time?
Oh, about 4 fingers.
Okay. There you are. 4 fingers of whiskey. You know, mister, you're the first man I ever saw drink out of a glove.
I always do. I'm the only man in Alaska that got a hangnail with a hangover. Doggone, I've been trapped in this saloon for 8 days by that darn blizzard. How much longer do you think it'll last?
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to take a look outside and see how the weather is.
It outside.
Cloudy.
Look, bartender, being stuck in a place like this for 8 days can drive a guy nuts. I gotta have a little excitement. Tell you what, I'll bet you $5 I can shoot those 3 glasses off the top shelf in 3 shots.
$5 says you can't.
It's a bet. Stand back, everybody. There's one. There's two.
You lost.
No, I didn't.
I've got $20 more that says you did.
It's a bet. That slow bullet has made me a fortune. Anybody else want a bet? Hey, you at the piano. Don't you know any other music?
Nah, he's ignorant. But those four fur trappers in the corner...
You must have had 5 fingers yourself.
Hey, look, mister, the blizzard is letting up.
Yeah, well, I think I'll get going. Where's my partner?
Hey, Wilson. Wilson.
Here I am.
Come on, we're going up north to find gold.
Gold, do you hear me? Gold.
Just a minute, partner. Don't risk your life out there in these icy wastes looking for gold. What is gold? Can't eat it. Can you drink it? Gold's only money. The money will only bring you unhappiness, misery, and sorrow.
Would you mind repeating that?
Money will only bring you unhappiness, misery, and sorrow.
This boy is not only fat, but he's stupid. Now, come on, let's get the dogs ready and the sled. We're going.
Were you ever out in the great alone when the moon was awful clear and the icy mountains hemmed you in with a silence you could hear? With only the howl of a timber wolf, and you camp there in the cold, a half-dead thing in a stark-dead world, clean mad for the muck called gold.
We're going mighty slow, Wilson, and it's all your fault. I took you on as a partner because I was a greenhorn. You told me you knew everything about the Yukon. You told me you knew how to handle these dog teams and sleds.
Of course I do. What makes you think I don't?
Well, I have a feeling the dog should be pulling the sleds and we should be riding. I'm sure of it. And that cocker spaniel with the whip is murder. That dog yells mush at me once more and there's going to be trouble.
Gee, I can't stand this no more. 3 weeks we've been traveling through these frozen wastes.
A man, an Eskimo.
Oh, yeah, I'll go and talk to him.
Won't do any good. These Eskimos don't talk any English.
I know, but I talk Eskimo. I'll say hello to him. Hey, compare.
That's Eskimo?
Look, he's coming toward us, and he's carrying food.
Yeah, maybe he'll give us some blubber. Hey, he wants to talk to us.
Oogie oogie, wah wah, muggahoo, muggahee.
What'd he say?
He says his name is a mighty hunter and he's chief of an Eskimo tribe.
Oh. Ask him if he'll be our guide and lead us to the gold.
Mugla, mugliuka, takara, igloo. Marabu, oogie, gloob, nuggy, cooch, tigra.
Of my riders must come from Bismo Beach or something.
Nuggy Nuggy talking.
He says he can't be our guide. He's got something else to do.
Ask him what?
Oogie Tula Nagarari?
Takalugi Moogie Papoose Nunga Wawa.
What'd he say?
He's got to go to Las Vegas and pick up his kid.
Go on by ourselves. Goodbye, Eskimo.
Goodbye, and don't forget dinner Saturday night.
Ow! Come on, let's go.
March!
I'm calling it! I'm calling it! Wait a minute, Wilson. Look. Look at the side of that mountain. We found it. A vein of pure gold. Do you hear me, Wilson? Look at it. Pure gold. Oh, boy, am I unhappy, miserable, and sorry. Come on, Wilson. Let's dig that gold and go back to the saloon.
Back of the bar in a solo game, that dangerous Dan McGrew. Now, watching his luck with his light of love, the lady that's known as Lou. But out of the night, which was 50 below, and into the din and glare, there stumbled a miner fresh from the creeks. Dog dirty and loaded for bed.
Okay, bartender. I struck it rich. Set up drinks for everybody.
Does that include me, handsome?
Sure does, Lou. I came right back here after finding the gold just to see you.
Well, the minute I heard you was coming, I hurried home and got into this new dress.
You must have been in a hurry. You didn't get all the way into it. But, Lou, I got presents for you now that I'm rich. I got diamonds and ermine fur, jewels, and a yacht for you.
Oh, darling. Come here, honey. Kiss me.
Well, after that kiss, I won't need my dogs or my sled anymore.
Why not?
There ain't no more snow between here and the North Pole. Give me another kiss, Lou.
Sure, honey. Oh, wait a minute. Be careful. Here comes Dangerous Dan McGrew.
Lou, come here a minute.
Yes, Dan?
Didn't I see you kissing this stranger a minute ago?
Yes, you did. Hey, he sounds dangerous. What about it?
You know what I do to guys I catch kissing my gal?
What?
I cut off their heads and hang them up by their hair.
Oh.
I'll have to think of something different for you.
Oh, I ain't scared. Now listen to me, Dan McGrew. Lou is my gal, and I'm taking her with me.
Oh, no, you're not. Draw your gun.
Don't fight, boys, please.
Get out of the way, Lou. I'm ready, Dan.
Then I reached for my rod, and the lights went out. And two guns blazed in the dark. And a woman screamed, and the lights went up. And two men lay stiff and stark.
Bye, Steph.
So long, Stark.
Pitched on his head, and popped full of lead, was Dangerous Dan McGrew. While a man from the creeks lay clutched in the arm of the lady that's known as Lou.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, through carelessness, a fire could start. A fire that could claim your life and the lives of your children. Don't let it happen. Be on guard constantly against fire. Make sure every match, every cigarette is put out. Always check the ashtrays before leaving the house or retiring for the night. Observe all fire regulations. Remember, only you can prevent fires. Thank you.
The Jack Benny program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsburg, George Balzer, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Hal Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks.
Jack Benny on Tuned to Yesterday from March 27th, 1955 on CBS. The program was actually first recorded in January of 1954 and rebroadcast again as one of the Best of Benny programs in 1956. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. And now comedian Joan Davis is on the air with her program from October 4th, 1947 on CBS with special guest comedian Danny Thomas.
Operator, will you please give me the correct time?
Certainly, sir. It's Joan Davis time.
Sure, it's Joan Davis time.
It's Joan Davis time.
Well, I guess there's no question about it. It's Joan Davis time.
It's Joan Davis time.
And during the time you spend with Joan Davis tonight, you'll hear Joanie's special guest, the most talked about screen and stage personality in Hollywood, Danny Thomas, plus another guest in the talented person of the girl who possesses one of the outstanding comedy voices in radio, Florence Halep.
Oh, Saturday, October 4th. Dear diary, you being my first diary, I better tell you something about myself. My name is Joan Davis. Joan. I was named that because my parents wanted a girl. As for my life, for the first 10 years, nothing much happened. For the next 10 years, nothing much happened, too. But after that, things got dull. Then, diary, I met a man, Dr. Crenshaw. He was wonderful. Square-jawed, rugged, and muscular. And he felt the same way about me. Oh, our love was a mad thing. We were two beings caught in a whirlpool of wild emotion. Two corks bobbing in a raging sea of madness. two tiny bits of driftwood tossed about in the rapids of romance. Two little croutons floating in the split pea soup of love. It's all over now. I never think of that doctor anymore, except occasionally when I smell penicillin. Yes, I've almost forgotten him. But does one ever completely forget these things? There's still a wound, a raw wound. It's on my finger where he ripped the ring off. But anyway, I've come to an incision. I mean, to say... can't forget that doctor. But my decision is that I'm through with men. I don't need men. A girl can get along very well without men. All it takes is perseverance, courage, willpower, and no fun. I'm going to have a career. Make something of myself. Let's see, what could I be? Maybe I'll be a highly paid private secretary. Or maybe I could be an airline hostess. Or if I want something more exciting, maybe I could be a policewoman. All right, stick them up, Coffeehead. I'm going to put you out of percolation. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I could become something more glamorous, like a striptease dancer. A pretty girl is like a melody.
Hey, keep it on.
Yeah, maybe I won't become a striptease dancer. Anyway, diary, after I decide to have a career, I still needed someone to look after the tea room. Someone who could act as a hostess. So I called up an employment agency and asked them to send me a capable hostess. The person finally arrived. Yes?
I'm the hostess you sent for. I'm here to run your tea room.
You? But you're not a woman.
So what? Nobody's perfect. I know how to keep books, wait on table, buy food. I've run joints before.
But I wanted a woman for the job, and unless my eyes deceive me, you're not a woman.
That's the trouble with people who interview you for jobs. They always look at you so closely.
How do you like this? Here I am, a woman trying to make something out of myself, and here's a something trying to make a woman out of itself.
Well, madam, give me a chance. This being a tea room, I can understand you wanting a dame. I admit, I ain't one now, but give me time. I'll learn.
Look, nobody learns to be a woman. Either you're born to put out your hand for a left turn and make a right turn, or you're a man. But tell me, what do you want a woman's job for, anyways?
Revenge.
Revenge?
Yeah. You see, due to the war, a huge number of the feminine gender have copped off men's jobs. So I decided to retaliate by grabbing me a woman's job.
Oh, so that's why you want to be a tea room manager.
Yeah, of course, this isn't the only kind of women's work I thought of doing. At first, I thought of becoming a soprano.
What changed your mind?
I don't have the figure for it.
Don't have the figure for it? Compared to your voice, you're built like Lana Turner.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome.
I didn't think you noticed. Anyway, lady, now you can understand why I want the job you offered. Well, do I get it?
Well, you know, you have to furnish your own uniforms.
Madam, I got aprons that'll knock your eye out. All the new length, too. Well, is it a deal?
All right. What's your name?
Lionel Stander, Esquire.
Lionel Stander, Esquire?
Yeah, what's yours?
Joan Davis, popular mechanic. I don't think I want to hire anyone who's a man.
Please, Miss Davis, give me a chance. I'm dying to work for you. When I first seen you, I was speechless. Speechless at the sight of such feminine pulchritude. Many moons have passed since I have feasted these poor eyes on such a vision of divine beauty.
Well, I haven't decided what your salary is yet, but you just got a $5 raise. However, there's something that you should understand.
Yeah?
I just had an unhappy experience with a man, and I'm all through with all men. So don't get any ideas. I mean about you and me. There's to be absolutely nothing between us.
In that case, I'll wait for less.
Just lost your $5 raise and took a $5 cut. Well, you better go out to the kitchen and get acquainted with your duties. I gotta look through the want ads.
Okay, ma'am.
Oh, now to get started finding a career. I'll show everybody I've got what it takes to make something of myself. Let's see. Help wanted women. Hey, this looks like a big job. Executive secretary wanted by big used car dealer. Must be able to do typing, shorthand, and skywriting. No, I think I'll try another one. Say, this might be something. Models wanted by advertising agency. Must have grace and poise, perfect figure, beautiful face, and college education. Oh, gosh, if only I'd gone to college. Well, I guess I'd better try to find something. Oh, it's Gloria Newbold, that mushmouth debutante. Hello, Gloria.
Joan, darling, you look simply scrumptious.
Well, thanks. You look pretty scrump yourself.
Joan, dear, I've missed you so. You've been away all summer. Where have you been?
I've been right here.
Oh, then I must have been away.
Hello, this kid. She's back, but her head is still on a vacation. Gloria, don't you know whether you were away?
Well, now that you mention it, I do seem to remember being in some remote place and seeing the natives in bright, colorful clothes. And I remember on Saturday night they'd come down from the hills and indulge in wild tribal dances. Now, let's see, where was it? Oh, yes, Hollywood.
Hollywood. Say, that might be a possibility.
What's that?
Oh, I was just thinking out loud. I decided to go in for a career, you know. Maybe I could find one in pictures.
As an idea, that is not only ridiculous, but utterly ut.
What do you mean? It's no more ut than some of your ideas. Why couldn't I become a movie star?
My dear, have you looked in your mirror lately?
Well, I admit I may not be the prettiest girl in the world, but there are some movie stars who are no prettier than I am.
Name two.
Well, two, huh?
Yeah.
Peter Lorre and Sidney Greenstreet.
Perhaps Peter Lorre, but certainly not Sidney Greenstreet. But tell me, darling, why the sudden decision to have a career?
Because I'm through with men. I don't want anything more to do with them. A girl's better off without them.
I don't agree with you. I rather like men. If you pick them carefully, they go so well with your clothes. But tell me, darling, what sort of a career do you have in mind?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll dig up my old saxophone and join an all-girl orchestra.
An all-girl orchestra? Darling, won't you feel out of place?
Look, Gloria, you may not think I'm attractive, but let me tell you something. You're not the only one.
Really, Joan, if you must forget men, why do anything so vulgar as getting a job?
Because I've acquired the vulgar habit of eating. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'll just become an heiress and join that swanky country club of yours.
You join my club? Ridiculous. Well, my club is so frightfully exclusive. Getting into it is not easy. You have to be recommended by 3 live members and 1 dead one.
Oh, a dead one. A dead one?
I told you, it's not easy.
Oh, who wants to join your old club anyway? All you women care about are men and new clothes. At least in the business world, I won't have to worry about what I'm wearing.
Oh, my dear, you're so wrongly wrong. A businesswoman has to be dressed even more stylishly than a homebody. And right now, the way you look, your body belongs at home.
What's wrong with the way I look?
Darling, That dress you're wearing is miles too short. You look simply outlandish.
What do you mean, outlandish? My landish isn't out any more than yours.
Believe me, Joan, if you're going to have a career, you've got to have a new wardrobe. All the styles have changed over the summer.
Gee, maybe you're right. I was against buying new clothes because usually a girl only does it to attract a man, you know. But if it was for my career, it'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Happen to Adrian, of course. And I could send you to my dressmaker, Pierre. Oh, he gives you such a wonderful fitting.
Oh, but your clothes are too expensive for me, Gloria.
Don't worry, just go to him. Pierre makes clothes to fit your pocketbook.
Well, that's all right for you. You're built like a pocketbook. But I'd like something to fit me. No, on second thought, I'm not going to worry about new clothes at all.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I noticed a new tailor shop around the corner. I'll have him drop my dresses to the new length.
But, my dear, there's more to the new styles than just the length. There's the padded hips, you know.
All right, I'll have him pad my hips.
Yeah. Then there's the new long neck.
Well, I've gone this far. I'll have him lengthen my neck, too. Myself in those new styles. Big long skirts, padded shoulders, padded hips, all kinds of padding. How do you like that? All my life I've had trouble finding men. Now for the first time, men are going to have trouble finding me.
Returning to the trials and tribulations of Joan Davis, we find that today she has decided to forget men and romance and concentrate on a career instead. Fully convinced that in a woman, clothes make the career. Joni is bringing her wardrobe to the tailor shop of one Danny Thomas. Object, alteration. The new look marches on.
Well, here's the place. Look at that sign. Danny Thomas, tailor to the elite. Mending, altering, pressing, trousers recapped. Gravy stains removed and fruit stains in season. Well, I guess I'll go in. Oh, excuse me. Mm. Excuse me. Are you Danny Thomas?
Yes, I am.
Well.
Pardon me.
Look, I'm here about some clothes.
They're not ready yet.
What are you talking about?
It won't be ready till Tuesday.
But I haven't brought anything in yet.
In that case, it won't be ready till Saturday.
Wait, just a moment. Will you please stop singing?
Look, lady, I have to practice my singing. I take lessons.
Well, you have to do it during business hours?
When else am I going to practice? My landlady won't let me practice by singing at home. She insults me. She says if I sing like that, I'll wake up her husband.
Well, that's no insult.
No, her husband's been dead 5 years. Go away.
A fine thing, a singing tailor. Instead of lengthening skirts, I'll get shortening bread. What are you, a tailor or a singer?
What's the matter? Can't there be both? Ain't a tailor entitled to the arts and culture like anybody else?
Well, sure, I like culture. I think it's very cultured. Culture is a nice thing to have. And people drop in. Yeah. Serving culture.
Look, my girl.
Huh?
My lady.
Yeah?
Stop rambling for the moment. My art is my only relaxation from this awful business. Do you know what this business is like? Women coming in all day to have their skirts lengthened. All day, that's all I hear. Lengthen my skirt, lengthen my skirt. Skirt, skirt. I'm getting skirtophrenia.
This guy's him happy.
Well, I can't stand it. Since the new styles came in, I've dropped more skirts than Gypsy Rose Lee. No, if anybody else comes in to have a skirt lengthened, I'll, what do you want done with those clothes?
I want to have made into a flag.
Look, dear, you can be honest with me. Don't be afraid to tell me. You want me to lengthen your skirts now, don't you?
Yes.
Beat it!
Please, Mr. Thomas, I'm trying to become a career woman. You know how it is with business people. If I wear a stylish long dress, they'll compliment me. If my knees show, they'll knock.
Look, lady, even if I wanted to do it, I've got too much work piled up. Believe me, by the time I get around to lengthening your skirts, you'll be wearing them short again. Better off than stitching yourself.
Well, but I can never get the hemline even. I'll probably have the new length in front and get arrested in the back.
It's no use. No use. I'm not interested. However, I might consider it if you say to me, Mr. Thomas. Dear Mr. Thomas.
Yes.
I'll throw away these old rags of mine and let you, with your genius, design some new clothes for me.
But you're not a designer.
I'm an artist, and art knows no boundaries. You heard me sing. Huh? I tell you what I put into my singing, I can put into your clothes.
I don't like loud clothes.
Believe me, my dear Joni, given a chance, I could be a Rembrandt of the rayon, a Picasso of the petticoat, a Beethoven of the bustle.
You sound like a Batty Carnegie. You sound like an old bat.
Please.
Like an old Carnegie.
No. Don't be. Please, don't be facetious. Under this simple tailor's exterior is the soul of a Schiaparelli. I get magnificent ideas for women's clothes.
You do, huh?
Uh-huh. Every time I walk down the street and see a beautiful girl, right away I get ideas.
For that, you gotta be a tailor?
Don't use that word. Oh, lady, if you'd only forget these old clothes of yours and let me create some new designs for you. Oh, what I could do for you. And with what you've got, it's easy.
What have I got?
Why, you've got, Don't worry, we'll get rid of it. Okay, just see. A long sweeping line from the left shoulder.
Yes.
Leaving your right shoulder exposed.
Yes.
And a full Grecian drape falling majestically from the hips to the knees.
Yes.
And on this simple dress, bursting with myriad colors,
yes,
will be a spray of sequins. What a creation! What a creation!
Don't get so excited, you're spitting pins at me. Now, please, all I want you to do is lengthen my dresses.
Quiet, quiet. My talent has taken over. I'm not even in a Hattie Carnegie mood anymore. I am now Sophie Gimble. Hi, you. Yes. Yes, I will make clothes for you. Clothes that will be even too beautiful to wear. You'll have them stuffed.
Stuffed?
Stuffed.
You know, this guy is stupid enough to have talent.
Certainly. I'm a genius, and I'm big enough to admit it. I know I can get wonderful ideas for you.
But where will you get them?
Where every true genius gets his ideas. I'll steal them. Come on, there's an expensive dress shop right down the street.
Ladies, please, there's a dress shop down the street, and the value very confidentially. She'll look the same.
It rhymed, huh?
Oh, but it fits. Here's Madame Yvonne's, Joan. Let's go in.
Gee, wait a minute. This is such a swanky shop. I feel out of place, and besides, we're not going to buy anything.
Joan, please. If they sense that attitude, we're dead. You've got to put on a dog in a place like this, or they won't show you their best stuff.
Oh.
They have to think you're somebody.
Oh?
We got to impress them.
Impress them, huh?
Mm.
It's too bad we don't have a piano on us. I could tell them I was Margaret Truman.
Oh, fine, fine. If I happen to have a tomb with me, I could tell him I'm General Grant.
Yeah.
No. All we have to do is act sophisticated. Continental, you know, throw a little French around.
But I can't speak French. All the French I know is hasta la vista, señor.
That's Spanish.
Spanish? Mm. Oh. Well, then how about auf Wiedersehen, Dunkel?
German.
Oh. Well, how about nich avago ochichonya?
That's Russian.
How do you like that? I speak every language but French. Isn't that murder? Now, wait a minute. I used to know a French expression.
What is it?
Maurice Chevalier. But I don't know what it means.
Joseph. Maurice Chevalier is French for Al Jolson. Good. All you have to know is vive la. Vive la. The French are always saying vive la something.
Vive la?
Yeah, I mean we. Come on, let's go in.
I'm Madame Yvonne. What can I do for you?
Bonjour, madame. We've just returned by plane from our villa in Monte Carlo, so naturally, mademoiselle here is in need of a new wardrobe. Her clothes are now 12 hours behind the style.
I see. Well, I'm sure we can please her.
Fine. John, this is Madame Yvonne. Madame Yvonne, mademoiselle David.
Charmed.
Vive la charmed.
How wonderful it is to hear French spoken well. I must confess that even though my name is Madame Yvonne, I'm not French. I just use it for business reasons. Actually, I was born in New York.
Oh, did you hear that, Monsieur? Madame Yvonne was born in New York.
Vive la Empire State Building.
Oh, I can't tell you how thrilling it is to meet people who have really lived abroad. Paris, the fashion center of the world. I've always wanted to go there.
Oh, yes, Paris is wonderful. Paris is wonderful. It's the only place in the world that's completely Parisian. Oh, Paris. Paris in the spring. April in Paris.
Kid, you're spitting those pins at me again.
What did you say?
Vive la pins.
The river pins. Madame Yvonne, may we see some of your gowns now?
Of course. I'll have some things modeled for you. Babette, Marie, Francine, over here, please.
Now, Joni, if you see something you like, wink at me, and I'll make a sketch of it out on the pad, okay?
Vive la pad.
Just take it easy, kid. It's me.
I can't help it. I'm rolling.
To show you is one of the very latest creations. This little gown that Babette is modeling is an authentic Parisian design. You might find it at Schiaparelli's.
How much is it?
Just $200.
Viva la Chairs Roebuck!
No!
What was that?
Nothing, nothing at all.
For a moment, I thought she said, Vive la Sears Roebuck. But of course, I must be wrong.
Oh, you are wrong. What you heard Mademoiselle say was, Sears Roebuck. Which is French for, why don't I keep my big mouth shut?
Oh, Mademoiselle, is something wrong?
Why?
Your eye, did you get something in it? You're winking.
Oh no, I always wink when I get near expensive dresses. You see, I'm allergic to sequins.
Allergic to sequins?
Yeah, it goes back to my childhood. You see, my mother was a poor dressmaker, and sometimes there was nothing to eat in the house but sequins.
How can you eat sequins?
Well, her mother had a recipe for them.
Yeah, Kippered sequins.
Yeah, Madame Yvonne, may we see some other gowns, please?
Certainly. Marie!
Joan, take it easy, will you?
This pleated gown Marie is modeling is the perfect example of the new vogue, and I... Mademoiselle, you're winking again.
I am? Oh, well, I told you, I'm allergic.
But this gown doesn't have sequins.
Doesn't? Oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm also allergic to pleats.
Oh, yes, sir. Her mother had a great recipe for pleats, too.
Yeah.
And if you say pickled pleats, I'll kiss.
And there's something else I've been noticing, Mademoiselle. Whenever you wink, your friend here starts making notes or something in a little pad.
Oh, well, he keeps count of my winks. When I hit 200, I get a free cigar.
I do not consider that a satisfactory explanation.
Don't blame you. It sounds kind of weak to me, too.
Ah, but enough of this. Let's see more dresses. Babette, Nanette, Alouette, Croquette, more dresses. 2 jours or more dresses, or even 3 or 4 jours or more dresses. Quickly.
More dresses, more dresses, more dresses, more dresses, more dresses, more dresses.
More dresses.
Gee, I'm glad we're out of there. Although they sure had some beautiful things, huh?
I'm all copied. We're all set.
Yeah.
Gee, I can't wait to get to work. No more being a tailor.
No.
Now I'll create gorgeous gowns that'll thrill the fashion world when they're finally on... what the heck am I saying? Well, when they finally appear.
Yeah, and when they appear, I'll be wearing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can always go back to being a tailor.
say, Mr. Thomas, what will these dresses cost me? For instance, that first one, the $295 one. What are you going to charge me for your copy?
Well, let's see now. There's material, labor, trimming, oil for the sewing machine. $400.
$400? Why, that's more than Madame Yvonne. Why don't I just buy it from her?
What, and pay the price of an original?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I wasn't thinking. Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Look, that dress that was marked $400, how much would you charge to copy this?
Well, that one would cost $650.
$650?
You see, that one has feathers on it.
So what?
Do you realize how high chickens are today?
Look, never mind. I'll see you later.
But where are you going?
Back to Madame Yvonne's to buy those dresses.
What? You'd go back into that expensive overpriced store?
I've got to. I'm a poor girl. Oh. Dear Diary, as you know, I'm through with men, and instead of trying to get myself a husband, I'm going to be a career woman. Well, to look for a career, a girl has to have clothes. So today, despite the advice of Danny Thomas, I ordered $800 worth of beautiful dresses. What gorgeous things I'm getting is a ravishing blue gown with sequins on it, a dashing, darling pleated suit, a stunning new... Wait a minute. With clothes like that, who needs a career? I can get myself a husband. Oh, well, good night, dear diary, and good night, everybody.
Joan Davis time on Tuned to Yesterday, the first of her fall season shows on CBS from October 4th, 1947. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.